You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Loud and clear, apparently. Whew. Full power. Now we get to talk a little draft. Coming up, John Hendricks at 1:15. His thoughts from Canal Street Chronicles. Looking for your thoughts as well. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. NOLA, your thoughts on Eric McCoy, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Saquon Hampton, Alizé, Mack, and Caden Ellis. Who is your undrafted rookie free agent favorite to try to make the team? George convinced, I guess you convinced me just by keeping you play the highlights. I like it.
Don't repeat.
Little Jordan Humphrey out of Texas. There he goes again. You just keep pressing play. You're just going to keep watching it over and over again, huh?
Yep.
Look, Texas had a nice year last year. By the way, Tigers taking on the Longhorns early next season. Also coming up at 1:30, Will Guillory, and we will chat a little bit about the NBA playoffs. I got to ask you this just because it keeps popping up on my timeline here, and people are texting me about it. Cole Tracy to try out with the Green Bay Packers and New Orleans Saints. Are you surprised that Cole Tracy went undrafted? I kind of am.
I am very surprised.
I mean, I get it. You know, value and people look at, hey, do I take a kicker with the draft here and there? I understand that to an extent. The guy performed well. Pressure situations performed well. Good competition performed. You made the case, and we talked about it last season. Out Cole Tracy, LSU doesn't win a couple of those games.
My opinion, I thought he was the MVP for the Tigers.
You have a case. You have a case.
He won you 4 to 5 games at last season.
Now, before Saints fans start going, bring him in, baby. Bring him in. Will Lutz, 5 years, $20.5 million extension, like a couple weeks ago. $9.2 million in guarantees as well. I think maybe the Saints having him work out to get some eyes on him, you know, try to help him out a bit. Packers giving him a workout as well. Brian, chiming in, Brian Bieniemy, a.k.a. Brian, and NOLA East, out on the road again. Looking forward to getting your thoughts here. As, look again, 800-998-1003, trying to get a handful of different opinions as to what they thought the draft was like. First off, Brian, good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
Doing just fine. Goose, how are you, buddy?
Doing fantastic. Look, here's the thing. I thought this draft made sense. I thought it was a good draft, value as well. When you hear Sean Payton, again, if we're going to trust him throughout the year, when the man comes out on Friday and says, Eric McCoy was just that player that stood out during the entire process, and they move up to go get him, and he happens to be the centerpiece of an offensive line for the near future and at a position where he's going to be snapping and protecting, we don't know who's going to be that quarterback over the next couple of years after Drew Brees. I think it's a pretty key spot. You look at his highlight tapes, I get it. In its essence, the name is called highlight, so you're only seeing his good stuff. But all I need to know is this. 1,500-plus snaps, 39 games started, one sack. Also, A&M's rushed for 2,000 yards or more in each of the 3 seasons he's played. I'm not saying it's all him, but that guy looks like somebody that can come in right now and be your center.
I think you nailed it when you said 1,500-plus snaps and only one sack allowed. I think that's important, especially because you're going to have to put a lot of pressure on Drew Brees, no matter whom the center may be, whether that's Eric McCoy, Nick Easton, or if they use one of the younger guys, Will Clapp or Cameron Tom. A lot of pressure is going to be put on Drew Brees because he has to make a lot of the line checks. If McCoy can come in, take a hold of the offense, grasp that, that's one less thing for Brees to worry about. Now Brees can worry about calling out the Mike linebacker and allow the center to slide the protections for him. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a key move. And not to mention that, but it's kind of what, you know, I think Deuce alluded to when he was on. Everybody wants the Saints to have a great offensive line, but when they draft O linemen, everybody throws their hands up and frowns. So for me, I think because of what's happened lately, because of the way the Saints have drafted in 2016, 2017, They didn't really need a lot of the draft picks from last year in 2018. They didn't really need a lot now. Think of the foresight the Saints had to have to know this wouldn't be a great draft for elite players, but they were going to have a lot of really good guys. That's why they traded a first-round pick for Marcus Davenport. So if you look at what the Saints have done, their draft looks really solid when you look at Teddy Bridgewater as a third-round pick, Eli Apple's a fourth-round pick, and Eric McCoy is a second-round pick. What's there to complain about?
Yeah, no doubt about it here as well. Value has always been something that you've really seen as well. We talked about it going into Thursday's show. The Picayune had a nice piece on the interview on the Saints Radio Network that Jeff Ireland said. And he's like, dude, look, we narrow our board. We're not going to have 300, 400 people in all 200 aspect, you know, prospects. If they don't fit our system, see ya. If they have characters, see ya. They narrowed it down and said that helps narrow the margin for error, and it's something that really helps them. When you look at this draft, it's value and it's, I hate saying need because it makes it seem like you reach, but it's finding the right fit for positions that you could use either depth in or people can do that. And we just touched about McCoy. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson really seems like a guy that can come here and really, I think, push for a spot, man.
No question. I've been comparing him to Honey Badger since the moment I saw him on film, man. I mean, the guy just absolutely makes plays all over the field. You had Deuce on. Deuce mentioned how he played both slot and safety, which is the versatility the Saints, of course, love. And not to mention that, but when you're talking about a guy who's going to come in and back up guys like Marcus Williams and Von Bell, Von Bell has a contract coming up, so does Marcus Williams, and you don't have any real depth behind him except for Banjo and Justin Hardy. You need a guy like Gardner Johnson, and you definitely want another ball hawk added to the mix because you don't know what's going to happen with Patrick Robinson, and we all know PJ is only on a one-year deal. Sign these guys up, get them in there, and let them sort out who's going to start.
Well, here's the other thing, too. When you look at his highlight reel, the thing that matters that I care for is when you look at it is ball hawk means you have good hands, you know, skills in getting the interception. But to your point, he's making tackles at the line of scrimmage. He's making tackles behind the line of scrimmage. He's, you know, peeling people. I mean, he's physical, Brian, but at the same time is heady enough to make plays, can go corner to corner. And on one of these highlights, the guy can almost take it to the house in an interception in the end zone against South Carolina. I mean, it's one of these things that you look at, and he does it all at that position back there.
Yeah, no question. I believe he has three touchdowns returns from turnovers. So it's not like he only did it once and it was a fluke. The guy has a knack for getting his hands on the ball and then taking it the distance. So for my money, you have a guy like Von Bell who can play closer to the line of scrimmage, also play some coverage for you. But if you put him with Gardner Johnson and Marcus Williams can kind of stay in that spot where he's always best, which is roaming the field and kind of being that center fielder, you have the making, you know, the back of the defense with Eli Apple in his second year in the defense, and now Marshawn Lattimore basically coming out with something to prove because people called it a down year when he made the Pro Bowl. So I think that, you know, these guys are going to come out hungry and looking to kind of erase anything and everything that goes deep.
Yeah, no doubt. And the reason I brought up his ability to be able to stop the run and get over to the line of scrimmage and make quick plays, look, we kind of talked about it on Thursday and on Friday's draft special, too, why I like linebackers. And John was like, dude, today's NFL, you're throwing DBs out there, not linebackers. That's why I bring up his physicality, because he almost is like a you know, linebacker-safety hybrid. We've seen that in the past where a lot of Saints fans kind of wanted that, whether it was Harper or other players that are no longer here, Kenny Vaccaro. And that's what you're looking at. This guy can play the run, yet can cover and can make plays on the ball by not dropping balls, but making interceptions. And that's why, look, it's easy to look at Eric McCoy and go, this makes sense. You can see that. But for those wanting flash, for those wanting a skill player, man, I think Gardner Johnson, look, you think of Aaron Glenn and Dennis Allen back there. I think they were really happy to get a player like this.
We all know the Saints have a type, and he definitely fits the mold. Versatile guy that can play close to the line of scrimmage and in pass coverage. They even went the undrafted free agent route and got another guy just like him, just in case, and Chase Hansen. So the Saints definitely have a type, except Chase Hansen, 6'3", of course. So, I mean, these guys are they're looking for guys who can not only, you know, play close to the line of scrimmage, but also play in coverage, and most importantly, turn the ball over. The Saints' offense is at its best when you give Drew Brees a short field and you allow them to get multiple snaps. You can't compete with the Saints' offense. They're going to do what they always do. They're going to put up points. And Sean Payton has been the head coach. I believe they've never dropped under the top six in offensive efficiency. So when you give those guys the chance to get the ball back, That's only increasing the chances, and I keep telling anybody that's willing to listen, this is going to look like the 2011 offense rebooted because Sean Payton and the Saints are not going to leave it up to the officials anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think the defense got a little deeper, man. Look, that D-line with the free agency acquisitions, some of these other moves here as well. And look, you heard me talking about it with Deuce. When Sean Payton, and I think it was a bit of a surprise, right? You know, went a different route in special teams and brought in a different coordinator. I think you and I talked about it. You're like, hey, it's sending a message that everything can get upgraded. Everything is going in that direction. And as you heard Deuce mention, when you look at the undrafted rookie free agents or you look at these draft picks, it is an emphasis with the addition of a new special teams coordinator. Sean Payton is making an emphasis to not only, because we think of replenishing or adding depth to offense and defense, sometimes as fans and media, we don't think of, well, you have to do that as well on the third part of what makes a team a winner, and that is special teams. And I can't think of another way to look at this draft. Sean Payton said, hey, we need a new special teams coordinator. We need to get you some players for that unit. Here you go. I mean, I don't know how else to look at it.
Well, last year I had the fortunate opportunity to ask Sean Payton about the special teams when we were at training camp. And he kind of, you know, had just come from, and when I mean absolutely barking, I mean the man sounds like a pit bull after, you know, a chihuahua, because he was absolutely getting after everyone on special teams. And I had the fortunate, you know, opportunity to ask him about that. And Sean Payton, basically, this was before the bachelor question, was like, you know, if we can't find guys who are doing it now, we'll go out and get more guys who can do it. And I guess that included the special teams coaches as well, because he made a major overhaul. Sean Payton does not want to allow special teams to be the reason why his offense and his defense don't win games. And we see it by the moves that's been made, not only, you know, in the offseason with the coaching change, but now we see it with the draft as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Brian, undrafted rookie free agents, it's a favorite pastime for Saints fans to take a look at players that go, aha, this guy will be the next one to make it on the Saints roster. Jordan, the intern, has old Jordan Humphrey as his favorite. Who do you like as a chance to maybe make a push?
My man crush right now goes to Corbin Kaposi, and he's a 6'9", 275-pound defensive end that also played basketball for BYU. Really long arms. Helps the pass rush. Oh, by the way, his brother currently plays for the New York Jets. His dad is the D-line coach at BYU, and his mom is the mayor of Provo City in Utah. Yeah, I like that guy a whole lot, considering that he's going to be hungry, wants to come out to play, and he's not going to want his brother out there to outshine him in the NFL. I like him, especially with the size, 6'9", 275, former ball player. When have we heard that before, working out for the Saints?
Oh, no, I hear you. So your overall thoughts and grade, man, on what you think the Saints did this weekend.
I know I'm going to sound, you know, just paint me yellow, picture me as bald and fat, and just call me the biggest homework you ever seen, because I think the Saints had an A-plus draft.
Whoa!
I know some people are going to disagree with that. A-plus draft. Your first-round pick, Marcus Davenport. Second-round pick, Eric McCoy. Third-round is Teddy Bridgewater. Fourth-round, Eli Apple. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You finished off with two special teams guys and a backup tight end. What's there not to like when you have a loaded roster? And as you keep telling everybody that's listening right now, if you truly believe you were one play away from the Super Bowl, how many rookies do you really think are going to make the squad and make a major impact? This draft didn't have a lot of elite players, and the Saints managed to find really good players who could become elite when you have to replace some really good players now with Mickey Loomis having to do his job and pay some of the guys that he had before. I love what the Saints did. A++++. You know what? To hell with it. The Saints were rogue scholars for their foresight this time.
Oh, NFL Network, Jordan the intern, didn't you send me this morning, or Brian did? NFL Network, power rankings?
Yeah, it was the Saints at one.
Saints! There it is, number one in the power rankings following the draft. Brian, I'm going to leave you with some homework, my friend, tomorrow, if you can. I'd love to know how the Dirty Birds, the Panthers, and the Buccaneers did in their draft. I know the Salty Dogs are extremely happy about Devin White. My favorite video of the weekend might have been following the first round pick, the first of the first round picks for the Falcons, in which, you know, they're blaring this horn at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and literally all their fans, they didn't move a minute. They didn't move a bit. If anything, they started complaining. So Falcons fans were still being Falcons fans, but I'd love to know what happened. And look, the Panthers went and got a quarterback. So let's talk a little about that tomorrow. Sound good?
I'm on it like wet paint.
There it is. Hey, man, be safe out there.
Take care, bro.
Yep. Brian Bienemy. A++++++.
You know who is number two on that list, though?
Huh.
Yo, Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, where are the Falcons on that list? Why don't you look up the rest of the NFC South?
Yeah, let me
can you do that for me?
I can do
that. We come back. John Hendricks now will give his take. 800-998-1003. Coming up bottom of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines. Well, actually, it's Will Guillory. Then we'll open them up to get your opinions here as well at ESPN Radio NOLA. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Spring Sales Event at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Stop in and check out all the new ways the 2018 Chrysler Pacifica Touring L is outshining and outclassing the competition. The 2018 Pacifica Touring L is the most technology-advanced minivan in its class, and it's now $81.99 off MSRP. Visit us at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat at 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. WAC excludes TTNL. CCAP bonus must finance with Chrysler Financial. Non-prime must have Beacon score 620 or less. LD truck owner loyalty must own an LD pickup.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food. Come and enjoy their delicious lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Cinco de Mayo celebration is the best party on the bayou. El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland will be featuring a live mariachi band for 3 days from May 3rd to May 5th. Don't miss the $2 cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close all 3 days at El Paso Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back. 800-998-1003. John J. Hendricks, the way to follow him over on Twitter. He's here to give us a little bit of his thoughts. Canal Street Chronicles. John, how are you this afternoon, man?
How about
yourself? Doing fantastic. You know, one of the things, I guess, to point out when you look at these draft picks here as well, you can't forget, I guess you can look at it this way, and I don't know if it's the right way to look at it, but Marcus Davenport was your first-round pick. Teddy Bridgewater was your third-round pick. Eli Apple, your fourth, to go with McCoy, Gardner, Johnson, Hampton, Mack, and also Ellis as well. So when you look at it, that's really, I guess, the haul overall going into and what the picks that you didn't have this year were used for. So just your overall thoughts when you look at what the Saints did in this draft.
Yeah, look, I think I was surprised on the first pick in the second round that it was so well received, because a lot of people were, you know, in the past, if you take an offensive lineman, that's been such a ridicule type position, all this other stuff, right? But, you know, McCoy out of Tampa, he's going to be a real good presence. He's going to immediately come in and challenge for the starting role at the center spot. I think you might have to give him the early edge and favorite, maybe. And the thing that a lot of people were quick to point out is that Nick Easton's contract, you know, 4 years, $24 million. So that's only the first year that's going to be guaranteed there. So they could use him as guard. They could do a center. I mean, it's just really one of those wait and see. So I really like the move to get a center, somebody that you can get, you know, presumably for 5 to 10 years on your team. That would be the projection for him, hopefully. And then Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I mean, we're LSU guys for the most part, so
We know a lot about him from Florida. Same thing with McCoy, too. So really love their first two picks that they've had in this draft. Saquon Hampton is going to be a guy that's going to compete for special teams. That's going to be interesting to see. Mack from Notre Dame, tight end. Look, there's wide-open competition on there besides Jared Cook and maybe Josh Hill. So I think that's a good, smart pick. And then Caden Ellis got a lot of real good reviews out of Idaho, especially Wild at Pro Day. So I'm interested and intrigued to see what happens there. But overall, good, solid class. I'd give him a B-minus, probably to the grade.
And look, if you're a playoff team and a playoff-caliber roster, you're an A-B grade. Ron Nolese gave him A+++++. NFL Network has him number one in the power rankings. You're giving him a B. I mean, that's what you want, right? I mean, you don't want C's and D's and stuff because you need depth. You need to replenish. You don't know what injuries can happen. You don't know what's going to happen during OTAs and training camp. And, I mean, at the end of the day, seeing what some of these players have done in the past, and look, I mean, you know, Jordan the intern's already. He's looking forward to buying his Saints little Jordan Humphrey jersey because he's penciled them in here as well. There's always an undrafted rookie free agent that makes some noise. When you look at that list, I know you've done a great job of compiling it. I've been retweeting you left and right. Anybody stands out in the undrafted rookie free agent class?
Yeah, look, I think Elijah Humphrey is probably one of the highlights there. Just, somebody who you don't know what's going to bring to the table. Ozigbo from Nebraska is another guy that comes out. And you know, Paul Branderson from Wyoming. He comes out, too, maybe has a little bit more controversy to him, you know, with some other looming things that are potentially going to happen down the pipeline. But, you know, that'll be something to keep an eye on. And, you know, there's always those guys that kind of wow you, right? Process. So, Kenny Bigelow at West Virginia is a guy that has a chance to make some noise on the interior line. So that would be something to see. Deontay Harris from Assumption College is a guy. If you look at some of his highlights, and that's kind of interesting and kind of exciting to see what he does in the return game. So, look, I think a lot of these players, you know, obviously we'll go more in depth with them and look at them a little bit more, but. I think they've got a good interest and a lot of UDFAs that they've assembled on this roster, and I would at least expect two or three to make the roster.
I guess overall, John, when you take a look at it as well, this roster was deep. This roster had some, you know, positions of need in terms of you can get either deeper in or at the very worst, add depth in it as well. If you had to give, I guess, one of those draft picks that you think could come in and really legitimately have a shot to be an impact, is it one of the top two in terms of McCoy and Gardner-Johnson, or do you think the other ones can?
I think it's McCoy and Gardner-Johnson, obviously. Those are the two easy points, just because Gardner-Johnson is somebody that could help Saints if they look at doing more three-fifth safety sets. I mean, this is a guy who's more of a Von Bell insurance, in my opinion. And, you know, you bring back Banjo to the mix, and then, what, you have J.T. Gray after that. So it was really a position of need. And it kind of helped somebody like Saquon Hampton. This is one of the guys who was honestly one of the top guys that could have had an earlier projection in the draft. It had not been for injury or anything like that. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with him. And, again, I think Mack, you know, you look at what happened with Dan Arnold and some of these other guys. I think Mack is kind of like a Dan Arnold as well, with his more of a receiving threat. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. And, again, with Ellis, look, you need a linebacker in this team. You know, you've got Vince Beagle, who made the team or came out as an undrafted guy and after he was picked up and was a key guy on special teams. So maybe that's somebody like Ellis that can come in here and do something. So, look, I think overall – you look at those five picks and you see, you know, a couple of them that definitely will play roles for the team. And I think it'll be nothing that will be like starting prominent roles off the bat, but something that, you know, they have where they can build around.
John J. Hendricks, the way to follow over on Twitter. And I guess it's always good for whatever it's worth, even though it's power rankings on April 29th. Jordan the intern, the rest of the NFC South. Saints are number one, by the way, on the NFL Network.
So, yeah, we have the Falcons at 17.
That is.
We have the Panthers at 26.
Nice.
And we have the Bucks at 29.
29, even with Devin White?
Yeah.
Yeesh, that's low. So, John, I guess it is. We'll figure it out once football actually gets to get played.
Yeah, that's what I like to see because, you know, March comes around, free agency, everybody crowns the AFC champions. That would be the Browns this year. Last year was the Rams. So, I mean, look, it's an exciting time. Football's that much closer. OTAs are right around the corner, and we'll have mini camp before we know it, and training camp, we'll be doing this all over again.
He said Browns. Who would be, just as you walk off, your walk-off comment, who do you think will be the surprise team this year?
Honestly, I mean, I think Cleveland, I don't know if there would be much of a surprise just because of what they've done, because now they're projected and expected to do a lot more. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to see. I guess Arizona might be somebody that I'd pay attention to.
Arizona?
Kyler Murray, they gave him some weapons. Not saying that they're going to go to the playoffs or do anything, but I expect them to be much better.
Wow.
I know the NFC West is very tough as it is, but I would expect that Cardinals team to do a little bit better than most people probably are giving them at this point.
All right, there he is, John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate you joining us today.
No problem at all. Thanks.
Are you ready, Jordan, the intern? Even though you had no idea when Mother's Day was per earlier in the day.
Yeah, apparently 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, May 12th, by the way. Not this Sunday. You know what this Sunday is? Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes. And then the following Sunday is Mother's Day. May 12th. Just your quick heads up.
Thank you. Thank you for looking out for me.
You got two Sundays to get something done. Already being bombarded by commercials.
Oh, wait.
Show her you care.
Sherry's Berries.
Yeah. Well, just my favorite is show mom you actually love her. I'm like, I made me feel like I didn't today. Did I not? Is there a spot ever to show him you care? I'm just wondering. I'm not, I guess Father's Day, but it's so different, right? Father's Day is like, here's something you can go use on the grill, which is great. I'm okay with that. It's just, it's so different. Like the commercials are of guys, you know, just going, hey, Father's Day, you know, it's, you know, I'm getting at, it's like, here's a tie or here's this or here's that. Mother's Day is like, you get the voiceover guys like, show her that you care this Mother's Day. Without her, you have no life. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just so different.
I guess because the mother is nurture.
Yeah.
And the father just, you know.
I'm kind of important, though. Ask Carver. Especially this weekend.
I don't know. When I saw
quote, it, I don't like Dada.
Yeah, yeah. Also, when you try to give him a kiss, he looked scared.
No, he wasn't scared. He was like, what? He tried to run away.
Like he was embarrassed because I was there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yesterday, we went to the fair. As we bring in Josh into the conversation, it was like, I don't like Dada. I'm like, thank you for that, bud. I appreciate it. Josh, what you got for us here on the Sports Hangover, man?
Thanks for taking my call.
For sure,
really
bud.
Really excited about this draft. I just want to make one prediction about undrafted free agent. I think there's a guy named Deontay Harris,
mm-hmm.
the kick return guy from Assumption. I think he's the next Darren Sproles, Tyreek Hill type,
ooh.
That little kickoff returner we need. I think he's going to make the team. I'm calling it now. And also, I have one question for Jordan. Being that this year's draft was a record-setting SEC players draft, and it's a record for the entire draft history of most players drafted from a Power 5 conference, I'd like to hear Jordan's opinion on only three LSU Tigers being drafted, and also that's the same amount of players from Temple University this year. I'd like to hear what he has to say about that.
And,
Jordan? What, my whole big school and little school?
Yep. What'd you say about that, Jordan?
Well, I mean, where'd they all get taken in the draft? He just hung up on me?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Wow.
Man, a few words, Josh.
Uh-huh. Come on, man.
Come on, Jordan. We're waiting.
The Temple, well, we all know that Devin White went early in the first round at 5.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then in the second round, Greedy Williams went, well, he went a little, he dropped further than a lot of people expected to. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know where the Temple, I haven't looked that deep into where the Temple guys are, but, mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of plays a big role in forming my opinion, so.
Dynamite drop-in money at broadcast school has really paid off.
It could have just gone to Twitter. Where Glenn Gilbo earlier this morning tweeted the following. The Tigers have had three NFL draftees in the past since 2000. 2001, three-man draft class. 2005, three-man draft class. The Tigers won national titles in 2003, 2007. He says they follow that up by getting top draft classes in the country the following year after they do that. Did you see this morning, Jordan, the intern, or was it late last night, the big news when it comes to, you know, future classes? Did you see the big news?
I did not.
And Jimmy Smith covers, recruiting. Rivals.com. Thanks to the recruitment of a 5-star wide receiver, your LSU Tigers have the number one class for 2020, jumping Clemson and Alabama. There you go.
I don't know what y'all are trying to jump at me for.
Well, we got the unredacted Jordan report.
Did they just want to come at me for?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
for me saying small schools.
You are Mr. LSU. I hate them. You love them.
Ooh.
Tide works.
Well, what I'm trying to say is,
at least that's what they say.
Alabama. I mean, LSU's number two in how many players that they have in the NFL. So,
here we go.
That point is kind of
there. You go,
Jordan. Go to break.
If you look at it like that, so.
Jordan, go to break. Jordan, go to break now.
Yeah. And with that, thank you, Josh, for giving me a question and giving me some airtime to take away from Gus.
Sports Hangover continues next with Will Guillory. We'll check in on the NBA playoffs next on ESPN New Orleans.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
When tracking the domestic dust bunny, you commonly find them hiding under wardrobes next to lost socks. Don't move too suddenly or they'll scurry off. What's utterly fascinating about the dust bunny is that although they are not actually sentient creatures, when they hear that Geico not only saves people money, but also has a 97% customer satisfaction rating, it's obvious to them you should switch. Because, yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Oh no, it's the dust bunny's only natural predator. Run along, dust bunnies, run along.
There's nothing emptier than an empty flower pot or flower garden. That's why the Home Depot has Miracle-Gro Garden Soil. Right now, get 2 for just $12. Miracle-Gro feeds your flowers, herbs, and veggies for up to 6 months without crushing their roots. Your plants will be twice as big, guaranteed. And you'll be twice as happy. Today is the day for doing with Miracle-Gro Garden Soil. 2 for just $12. Now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store. Limits 60 per customer.
Are you struggling with vision loss as you get older? Do you have a child who is blind or losing their vision? Are you a blind person wondering how you'll succeed in school, at work, or as a parent? We can help. The National Federation of the Blind knows that blindness doesn't have to keep you from living the life you want. We invite you to learn more about us and how we can help at nfb.org. The National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Pass it along. We are back to 100% full power on the tower. Joined the intern, finally found the right plug. No, it's kidding. It took a little bit. Tower's completed.
Yeah, just it was off. We found out that it was just a switch that we had to press.
That's it. Just a switch.
Because that's another thing that we got a lot. Can't you just amplify it a little
bit?
Yeah,
just pot it up. Just turn it up. Crank it. It's a knob. Nah, it doesn't work.
Oh, I got it. Here I go. Okay, we louder.
Exactly. Will Guillory covers the Pelicans and the NBA for the Athletic NOLA. Give him a follow at Will Guillory as well. Joins us this afternoon to get into the NBA playoffs. Will, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. How about you?
I'm doing good. You know why? Because I looked at the calendar tomorrow. I mean, tomorrow's 2 weeks into the NBA draft lottery, baby. That's right. Haven't been
big four. It's going to be a big day for
it
a lot
is.
Of teams.
Look, man, I'm telling you, I don't know where you plan on doing that, but we're going to be at Vinny's having a watch party. So we're always there every Thursday. I already talked to Jason Giles of the King Firm. Watch party, draft lottery night. Feel free, man. You're invited. Obviously, we got to get to that for the Pels, but I hadn't gotten your opinion overall, and then we'll get into the NBA playoffs. Just your thoughts, man, from the David Griffin presser and really all the moves since and all the news since of the positive note when it comes to the Pelicans.
Yeah, I think it's a really positive sign for the franchise overall. It shows, you know, they really want to take these rebuilds seriously. They want to, you know, build it from the top down, and they really, it's not so much about the roster, it's about putting the right people in place. And I think that's a complaint that you've heard a lot over the years about this Pelicans team, is just the process hasn't been there, let alone the players they're putting on the floor. Just the way they were getting there wasn't the right way. And I think what David Griffin talked about was just bringing in more scouts, more people in the front office, more voices to make sure they do this rebuild in the right way. And I think a big question now is just how he handles the Anthony Davis situation, obviously. But just from what he's saying and just the vision he's presenting, I think you got to be excited if you're a Pelicans fan.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think one of the things that I've been explaining to people, or really just out and about, man, seriously, like literally Walmart, the gym, walking the dog, and people just say, hey, you did a sports show, what about the Pels, what do you think of them? It's just the positive news that comes out of it. When I mean positive, I'm talking about, it's not of, well, maybe you can't win or can't do this or can't do that. He's done such a good job of just changing the perception already. I mean, that interview he did on The Jump, Tracy McGrady, Hassan, and Nichols, I mean, they were practically giddy. They couldn't stop laughing the entire time. You know what I'm saying? He brings respectability immediately, and people, when they interview him, when they talk to him, they respect him, they like him, and they know he's no nonsense, and he knows what he's talking about. That's what you're paying for, but that's why it was so important.
Exactly, and not only that, but you know, you're talking to a guy that's about putting in the work. And I think everybody you talk to that's been around David Griffin, they know that he's a guy that puts in the work. He scouts everywhere. He talks to a lot of different people. He wants to just bring us as many perspectives as possible. And I think that's a big thing for this team. It was kind of just a one voice up top with Dell Demson and kind of Mickey Loomis in the background. But now with the Pelicans, I can see it going in a lot of different directions going forward. And I think that's the most interesting thing. We've kind of heard him say, we're building a process where this team can compete for a long term, but he also said they want to compete next year as well. So I think it's kind of up in the air what's going to happen. Obviously, the AD situation, he wants to keep them around. That's going to be really weird if he makes that happen. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he wants to build this team and if he's more focused on getting them back to the playoffs next year, or he wants to do the long-term rebuild and kind of, you know, build this roster from scratch.
Yeah, Will Guillory of The Athletic at – Will Guillory's the way to follow on Twitter. No, he's got options, Will, which is why, literally, I'm telling this guy, it's a watch party May 14th, man. You get a top four pick, that you can go in that direction. You win the lottery, that's another direction. If you know, kind of stay put, just move up. I mean, all these different ways you can go. That's why, honestly, May 14th is a big day when you look at it. It's also big in keeping an eye on this playoff that's going on right now, which is why I have you on. Because, look, I have been looking at certain series differently. The Celtics, I want them to do well, not get bounced out the first, maybe get to game 6 or 7, and then go, the missing piece is Anthony Davis. The last thing you wanted, Will, was for them to struggle in round one. And then yesterday, game one, their series with the Bucks, they win it 112-90 in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really impressive performance from Boston, and I think you saw their two main guys, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, coming in a big way. And I think that's what, if you're a Boston fan, you really wanted to see, is those main guys step up. And I think the way not only Al Horford scored and hit those jumpers from the outside when they gave him opportunities, but the way he defended Giannis on the other end, I think that's what really shocked me. Holding Giannis to one of his worst playoff games I think he's ever played. And I think that's got to be really exciting for them. And I think for the Pelicans' perspective, I think it was really interesting to see Jason Tatum not really involved that much. I think everybody kind of looks to him as the crown jewel in that AD trade. But, I mean, it was more guys like Jaylen Brown or even Terry Rozier that hit a couple big shots at the end. So I think that's going to be interesting to see his role going forward in the playoffs and how that kind of changes his perspective going into the offseason.
Here's the other element, too. They didn't make it into the second round. I thought they played a nice first-round series, the Clippers. I know a lot of people have thought about maybe they could be a possible trade partner there as well. You had to be impressed with a lot of their young players in that series against the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really crazy game. I think every time Houston and Golden State play, it's going to be a crazy game. And just seeing just how that Golden State team has recovered ever since losing DeMarcus Cousins. And then just KD, I mean, he's playing at an incredible level. He's just dropping 45 every time he touches the floor. Just seeing how he's playing and the level he's at is kind of scary, just what this Warriors team is going to be able to do going forward. But I think at some point, Harden and Chris Paul have to figure that thing out eventually, right?
Well, that's what I was about to get into. That's the story. Waking up this morning and late last night. Poor Houston Rockets and James Harden, Chris Paul, get no calls. Terrible on that. Man, I watched more people tape a strip of tape to a studio floor this morning. Name an ESPN show, name an analyst to show the space of where you should be allowed to land. Look, you knew this series was going to be fun. And look, if there are three-point shooters, you got to disrupt them. It's what Cleveland did to Golden State when they won. They had to disrupt them. They had to get physical with the three-point shooters. Where do you think it goes from here, though, in that obviously the attention and focus has been on the calls, non-calls, on the shooting? If I'm Golden State, I got to keep doing what I'm doing until some calls are made.
Yeah, and I can promise you this, the focus on the calls won't go away. We're going to be talking about referees all the way through this series, even if it goes seven, because whenever James Harden is involved, we got to talk about refs. And the crazy thing is we're talking about refs, and Boogie isn't even involved. If Boogie was in this story, we'd be talking even more about refs and foul calls and technicals. And yeah. But it's crazy. It's just the way Harden plays, I think. He just draws so much attention to every little bit of contact he gets. And we're talking about contact on three-pointers. We're usually talking about when he's going to the lane and stretching his arms out, bumping into people. And I'm sure we're going to get some more of that going forward in this series. But I think it's going to be every night we're going to have a big focus on not only how many fouls he can draw, but, you know, how that affects the Warriors, because they're not an extremely deep team. So if you see a guy like Andre Iguodala or Kevin Durant get into foul trouble, that's going to have a big effect on them and the way they play, because they need just about every one of those guys to really go to that Golden State level we're used to seeing them at.
No, look, I'm with you as well. When you take a look at the rest of the West, who can give them that run if it's not Houston on the other end, the bottom half of that bracket? You got the Nuggets knocking out the Spurs in a seven-game series there. They win 90-86. How much, I guess, should we be taking the Denver team serious to maybe make a push for that West?
Yeah, it was a really interesting series. I think the biggest takeaway for Denver is just Nikola Jokic is just not shying away from the moment at all. I think he's playing at an extremely high level, just the way he sees the floor, passes the ball. He's scoring in the post, doing pretty much anything he wants. And that's going to be a big challenge for Portland, not having their big guy Nurkic out there and stuff with that really devastating injury at the end of the season. And I think just the way they handle him down on the block and the way he can control that Denver offense, that's going to be a big storyline in the series. And, of course, Dame, how many 35-footers is he going
to
hit?
Dude, I was literally about to ask you how many times have you watched the game-winning shot. I mean, it was incredible.
It had to be like 100, 200, I don't know. But it's just those two stars, and just which one of those guys can kind of dictate the pace, which one of those guys can really be the star of this series, I think that'll go a long way in determining, which team wins, just because we haven't really seen either one of these teams in this situation before where they got a realistic chance of making it to the conference finals. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on them, and I think it's going to come down to the stars really stepping up.
Will Guillory of The Athletic covers the Pels in the NBA, chatting a little on the NBA playoffs. You know, and it's crazy, you referenced that series coming up. I mean, those two teams are teams, again, been thrown out there, could possibly maybe make a run for AD here as well as trying to find that missing piece. Over back going to the East as we go back and forth. Sixers and Raptors. The Sixers just were yucking it up in that opening round. And then they realized, oh, yeah, by the way, Toronto was good. They were picked to win the East. And that Kawhi Leonard, he's not talked about, I guess, that much as he was as much last year. Dude, he was half of a duo that put up 70-some-odd points. He had 45 points last night, Kawhi.
Man, and it was easy. It seemed like it wasn't hard for him at all. He could have went and got 50-60 if he really wanted to. It was just he just makes the game look so simple down in the post, the way he just gets here wherever he wants to go. He can make any shot. He can pretty much score on any kind of player, small guy, big guy, whoever you want to put on him. He just does whatever he wants out there. And the incredible thing about that Toronto team is just they're so deep at every position as far as defenders. When you got Kyle Lowry at point guard, Danny Green, Pascal Siakam, Marc Gasol, these are all individually great defenders, and you put them all on one team, it's really tough for that Philly team because they kind of stress teams out with the way that they're so hard to match up with because you have a big point guard, and then you got Embiid and Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler running around. But that Toronto team, they just say, okay, we're just going to put Kawhi on your best player and your second best guy. We're going to put Pascal on him, and they can just go down the line, and it really doesn't matter. And it's going to be just really interesting to see how Embiid and Ben Simmons really handle going against top-line defenders every single night, you know, going throughout this series.
Yeah, no doubt. And that game was Saturday. Game 2 is tonight on TNT, 7 o'clock, with the Raptors up 1-0. Is Ben Simmons going to attempt a 3 in this series?
I'm going to go with no. I don't see any way. I mean, has he ever attempted a 3?
Seriously, I joke about it, but, Will, is that an incredible stat? I mean, he doesn't attempt the 3, much less try to make them.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think when you go up against a guy like Kawhi, some of his weaknesses really stand out because Kawhi really takes away what you want to do. And the physicality he brings at that position, I think, is something Ben really struggles with. So this is the type of matchup where you're going to have to see him going out of his comfort zone and maybe hitting a few turnaround jumpers, maybe being more aggressive in open court situations because Kawhi is going to always make it difficult. And it's not like you really have many other options to go out. Like I talked about, they have great defenders all over the court. So we're going to see Ben tested more than we really ever have throughout his whole career.
Trailblazers and Nuggets game 1 tonight at 9:30 over on TNT. Who you like in the series?
Man, it's going to be Portland.
Ooh. I like
that. I think Portland just because, man, Dame is just playing at such a high level. And after seeing what he did to OKC, I think, I really believe it's his time, and I think that Denver team, those guards they have, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, they're still up and down, and I think Dame is going to look across and be like, man, it's time to just, you know, it's Dame dollar time. You know, he always points at the watch. And I think he's going to have some big scoring nights in this Denver team. They're good on defense, but I don't think they're really at top level enough to really stop him and where he's playing right now.
You mentioned OKC. Final question for you. Are you surprised that the reports this morning is they expect to have Billy Donovan back? Do you think that decision's yet to fully been made?
Yeah, I'm surprised that they've announced it this early. There's no question about it because I think you do have to have some questions about, you know, the way they fell off toward the end of the season. But I think pretty much they're going to point to during the offseason is Paul George and how serious that shoulder injury was. And I'm sure we're going to get more news about that eventually. And I think they're going to point to that and say, okay, if our guys are healthy, maybe we play better. But there's a lot of questions about what they're going into the future just because those pieces just aren't fitting the way we thought they would, and they don't have a lot of other options with their cap situation.
Will Guillory at Will Guillory is the way to follow over on Twitter. Pels beat writer, covers the NBA as well for The Athletic here in NOLA. May 14th, dude, 2 weeks from tomorrow, draft lottery night. I'm telling you, Will.
I'm actually going to Chicago for the draft lottery.
Oh.
I'm going to sneak my way into the room, see if I can actually find the lottery balls. I'll let you know if I can get in there. But it's going to be a fun experience. We're going to go to the draft combine out there as well. So
nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man. Well, I'll definitely be relying on you, man. I'm going to give you a holler because, I think as it was this year watching March Madness, I paid attention a little bit more to certain players that I think would be up there for the Pels. Same thing. I mean, it's not the NFL combine. It's not the NFL sort of off season, but I would lie to you if I tell you I am going to pay attention to this combine a little bit more, the numbers, the games that they play and all of that, because look, I think you can go in so many different directions. So who is it that you get? To me, do you agree as we walk off here, Will, a top four pick would be a really good pick for the Pels?
Oh, it would be amazing for them just to have somebody they can bring in to really say this could be the new guy or at least a new building block going into the future and just kind of represent, you know, what the identity can be for the team.
Okay, there he is, Will Guillory. Thanks for your time today, bud.
Hey, I appreciate you for having me on.
Yep, for sure. Will Guillory. Jordan, I think a top four pick, man, could really, you start there. Now we'll deal with what we're doing with AD. You know, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the main pieces that has to happen in order for this team to rebuild.
2 weeks from tomorrow, man. It's right around the corner. Let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll have more. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Here is South Louisiana, traditions matter. Whether it's community festivals or Sunday afternoon family gatherings, we value these regular occurrences as part of our fabric of life. At SL Bank, we're built on the traditions of true community banking, relationship-based, service-driven banking that embraces your financial goals as much as you do. Come see us today. SL Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender in La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788, Donlin Construction.
If you're a small business owner, you know what you mean to your customers. You're the local pro, a neighborhood problem solver, a person in their community they know will treat them right. State Farm agent Nora Vaden Holmes is no different. Nora runs a small business in New Orleans, too, and she's perfectly positioned to understand your needs and help you protect your small business. Stop in or talk with State Farm agent Nora Vaden Holmes for small business insurance today. NMLS number 423930.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
What do you think, Saints fans, of the NFL draft overall? What do you think of the draft picks as well? 800-998-1003. As I'm looking for your thoughts on overall on the class as to what you think about it. One of the things that I think to me stood out is it shows you the depth and it also shows you the Saints meaning a bit of business, right? As when it comes to the picks that you saw. And we've spoken with Deuce Windham. Larry Holder's going to join us at 2:15. Marlon as well. I'm just trying to get as many people that cover the team and kind of we're focusing on the draft to get as many opinions as well. John Hendricks gave it to us earlier this hour as well as to where they see people can kind of step in. Plus, I know a lot of you Saints fans love you some undrafted rookie free agents. You got your favorite. What's interesting is this morning, what, Jordan, you? And both of our guests that cover the Saints have given different, all three, right? Brian's given a different one as well. Deuce gave a different one. John Hendricks gave a different one. So we've gotten four different undrafted free agent. I'm with you. I think little Jordan Humphrey would be my pick to
stand up.
Especially if none of those other receivers kind of stand out. And again, I understand it. I mean, Deuce said it from The Athletic, the numbers, the combine numbers and all that, just maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't wait till training camp starts so we could actually watch and see what these players have to offer, meaning like the wide receiver position.
I get the 40 time and I get it. But when you put on his highlight tape, there are plays where he catches it and outruns everybody. So I'm a little surprised that he had a slow 40. you see him against Georgia. I mean, you see him against good competition.
No, good teams.
USC, just running over people. It takes four or five people to bring him down. I'm just saying, on third from the three, you know, first and goal from the three, this guy on some of these highlights was taking direct snaps. We saw what Sean Payton did with Hill. Took Taysom Hill and made him a weapon. I'm like envisioning this back. Imagine this in short yardage. Kamara, LaJordan Humphrey, and Hill. Heavy package up front.
Humphrey taking the direct snap.
Who you got? Any of those three can run you over. Who you got? How about two of those three are lead blockers for the other? Who you got?
Yeah, we'll be seeing that Wildcat formation a little bit more than
we
usually do.
One way to prolong Drew Brees is, hey, why don't you watch this play? Check this out inside the five. Watch this. With your boy, Eric McCoy, at center, 6'4", 300. I'm just saying, I mean, you get what I'm getting
Humphrey
at here?
Humphrey doing the QB sneak.
Yeah, hey, line them up right in between Pete and McCoy. I don't care where the direct snap goes. Give me Pete, Armstead, McCoy, Humphrey, all attacking one spot on the D-line, and then have Hill lead block for Kamara. He's not going to get touched. You want to talk about plowing the way? I mean, there's all kind of things you can do with that.
Drinking the Kool-Aid 2.0.
I am. Am I drinking too much Kool-Aid
now?
This
is Kool-Aid 2.0.
Made the team. I'm using football eyes, man. You want to give me stats and these, you know, all these great. That's fine. I get that. There's a reason he didn't get drafted. I understand, but I don't know, man. I don't know if something was going on in his life that he couldn't work out. I don't know. Because if you showed me that tape, there's no way that guy doesn't get drafted. You?
I'm taking him.
I don't understand. I didn't see somebody that was slow. I didn't see somebody that had trouble running. I mean, all I know is he caught balls and outran people. Took snaps in the backfield.
Ran a couple people over.
Ran people over. That's what I saw. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Now it's a day.